Werbung mit diesem Song.
Gracious Father, we just thank you, Father, for Leanne and the blessing she is to our parish.
We just pray your blessing upon her now as she brings your word to us, that she may know the freedom and liberty of doing that which is according to your will and purpose for her life. We just pray, Father, and we thank you for your word that tells us that your word shall not return unto you void, but shall accomplish that whereunto you have sent it. We pray that this may be so this morning. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
It's more of you and less of me. I'm really encouraged to see so many stepping forward in our services, and I really enjoy listening from all that you're bringing. So when this opportunity arose and Chris was unable to make it this week, this message on baptism that has, I believe, God incident has been expanded. I've been getting all these little breadcrumbs, I've been calling them, words, thoughts, impressions, so picking them up, a bit like Hansel and Gretel. I knew the timing was right to bring these today, but knowing I was just doing worship, I prayed, how am I going to bring all these breadcrumbs? They've now turned into a loaf of bread. So speaking to Chris with his unavailability to come, my words that I shared at the beginning of the service of stepping out of the boat came flooding literally back to me. And also Fiona's gentle little words saying, Leanne, just may need to speak, maybe bring a message, maybe not just at worship. So others knew it, but perhaps I did not want to know it. And Lynn had also bought quite a few of us these study books, and an anticipation, so an encouragement. So thank you all for your vision, and a lot of people have texted and just given me lovely words of encouragement this week, and it's meant everything. About a year and a half ago, Jeff, Alistair and Jackie came to visit, and I handed this particular word onto them, a word that I believe was impressed upon me. And pretty much one way or the other, the words have been accomplished. Lynn gave us that clear word of a God who was at work, and he has been. The instruction I passed on, however, was of the continuation of what I'd spoken quite a few years ago on unity, revisiting words that have already been given, and that was more of a message for the elders, learning to listen more individually and corporately, and I really saw the working of that with Alistair when he first came, and he was really trying to bring that into the services. Also, Lynn was doing an exceptional job through the Freedom Diaries as well. So yeah, just being clear of instruction given before acting. A bit like this word, I was looking for lots of confirmation. Finding and using our gifts, and we've had Gwen in here, so I think that box has been ticked. And now the last part of that message that I received was on baptism, a key to a greater connection with the Holy Spirit. So once again, don't shoot the messenger, topic at hand. Baptism. Okay, so speaking personally and quite passionately, for all who do know me, baptism was something that I had a real drawing to do. But I did the Jonah thing. And each year, some 21 years ago, I ran away from it. You see, it was a requirement in our church to give a testimony or a word of encouragement to others, what had brought me to that particular point. Baptism wasn't a problem. I love the water, that wouldn't have been a problem, but speaking in front of the church was quite ironic that I'm up front now doing that very thing. Great sense of humour our God has got. But I really love witnessing others' baptisms, and I was just reflecting on those that I know who have already taken that step of baptism. And I was just thinking of their growth and their connection with the Lord. I spoke in my worship a few weeks ago of a good friend that I would have liked to have heard share his message. You see, he had a real drawing and he really wanted to be baptised. And then just one day out of the blue, he phoned me and said he'd be heading up to the Leithen and could I be a part of it? Absolutely, I said. There were just four of us and I believe he is growing. And I was really excited to hear that he had stepped into that place of bringing a message as well. So it was really encouraging. Baptism is for us all. It's any stage or age. And some of you may know Ruby Stewart. She's a dear friend back over at West Otago. And she just had this amazing call to be baptised. And but Campbell, her husband, he did not quite think that it was important, and out of respect she decided that it was okay. But as when Campbell passed, she decided, and she was off, like, you know, wanted to really be baptised. And I think she was a great role model for our church of her age. She was in her 80s, and it was just wonderful to see that. So it's like a seed planted within each one of us who believes. Baptism is that outward sign of our inward faith. And that amazing act and resource, the act of repentance and obedience to our Lord, is vitally important. And when I finally became obedient to that call, I believe that my faith grew exponentially. I'd like to add, though, and say there is no them and us in this. It's not a prerequisite to salvation. It's just a choice. And as I was formulating this message, one of the little crumbs was this impression on the cross and the criminals either side of Jesus and the choices they had to make. And then I read in July 6th, the word for the day, what Max Licardo had written, and it was a great little breadcrumb of explanation, far better than what I could have put together. And he spoke about the two criminals. They had both much in common, convicted by the same system, condemned by the same death, surrounded by the same crowd, and they each equally close to the same Christ. In fact, they began with the same sarcasm, as I said, and you know, cruel things they were saying, but one of them changed. He said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus answered him, "I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise." So, and it says this in Luke 23, "Believers, we rejoice that this thief in the 11th hour could change, but we dare not forget the one who didn't." And there are times when God sends blessings to lure us, but there are times when God sends nothing but silence, as he honours us with freedom to choose where we will spend eternity. As humans, we've never been given a greater privilege than that of choice. I think about the thief who repented. Though we know little about him, we know this, and in the end, all his bad choices were redeemed by a solitary good one. Yay, he chose Christ. But getting back to my initial point, it's not a requirement for salvation. You know, Jesus just didn't say, "Get me down from here, get these nails out of my hands, you know, I've got to get this guy baptized beside me." No, it kind of wasn't time then. And we still know and believe he would have gone to heaven, don't we? But right now, we have time. And as humans, I think we sometimes pretty much like to pick the easy option. I've been christened and as a wee baby, but still felt that definite call to go further. That biblical nature of what Jesus demonstrated clearly modelled that for me. It comes down to, once again, choice. If we want to go deeper with the Lord and step out of the shallows and wade into the deep, it's something that's been brought before our church many, many times. And it's something only each of us individually can do to check in with him. Ask him clearly to show you. God left words about Jesus in Isaiah, a book written 700 years before Jesus came to earth. He confirmed back then in those prophetic words, as Jesus stepped into the water of the Jordan and was baptized, it was a symbol of officially starting his mission. And that amazing brilliance doesn't stop there. Those words in Isaiah said, "I am pleased," and I gleaned another wee crumb back in my readings explaining the pleased undertones spoken in Isaiah, and they were spoken in Hebrew, and in Matthew they were spoken in Greek, but these words and their connotations both mean the same, along the same lines, to restore or be resolved, that reconciliation. They both talk of that redemption, to restore a relationship with them. And God makes sure, as he did on the cross, show us over and over again that Jesus stepped into this messy, troubled world precisely for redemption, to restore our relationship with him. And the Bible prophesies it in the beginning, and it acts it out from the start to the finish. Baptism and the cross were all pointers of his love and his care to redeem us. I had always wondered why Jesus, who was so perfect, even had to do this act of being baptised. And I learnt something new, and my question was answered. And it clearly shows us in Matthew 3:13, because John said, "I need to come to you." John was trying to deter him because John knew his insignificance, and so he was saying to Jesus, "No, I have to come to you." But Jesus said, "Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness." Then John consented. So why did Jesus do this? It was not for sin, because he did not sin. And there were a variety of reasons to fulfill all righteousness. It means to accomplish God's mission. Jesus saw this baptism as advancing God's work. And can I just add that baptism is a resource? It's one resource or one way that he uses in growing us. Jesus was doing this because, one, he was confessing on behalf of the nation of his sins, and something that he would take again on the cross. And two, he was showing support for John. He was encouraging him. He was stepping into the water just to affirm what he was already doing. He was inaugurating. And I looked that word up, and it said to open or celebrate. The first public use of ceremonially doing something. So he was really marking it. But the last point was the best for me. And it tells at the bottom, if you've got a Life Application Bible, in the study notes in Matthew 3, he was identifying with the penitent, us, all of us who felt regret for our sins. So here is our God who came to earth, walking, talking, experiencing a part of us, putting himself, the most perfect person, right next to us, experiencing everything. He who was without sin. And as believers, we know that his word is not wrong. It is our go-to. And as Sharon also read in Matthew 3:11, John was prophesying of Jesus coming to do this. He said of Jesus, "After me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry." And he was already baptizing people at this point, and he was just speaking this out, "And he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire." We can read in the study notes where it says John's statement also symbolises the work of the Holy Spirit in bringing God's judgment on those right from the start who refuse to repent. And it goes on to say, and get this one point, everyone one day will be baptised, either now by God's Holy Spirit or later by the fire of his judgment, and something I know we are all aware of. That act of repentance we make saves us. So if you turn to Acts 2:38, Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off. For all whom the Lord our God will call." For all whom the Lord our God will call. So here it speaks about the definite call. So a challenge and a question for us all. How is our door placed? Is the door firmly shut with the do not disturb sign up? Or is it partly open? Or is it flung wide in anticipation? Baptism is definitely biblical. And as I've spoken of in these verses, go to your Life Application Bibles. For me, it really helps speak in a way I can understand. It expands and it gives me that further direction. Most importantly, pray. Ask God for his guidance and his wisdom and his perspective. Many have said to me, "I don't need to do this." You know, once again, that's choice. But I'd like to say baptism is a key, a map, whatever you'd like to call it, to that door I'd spoken of. And in conclusion, my last little breadcrumb, I was once again grappling with bringing this message at all, but making myself available and asking of the Lord, "I need more confirmation. I was driving home from Gore a couple of Tuesdays ago, and his worship songs just come to me, and it was Oceans. And I turned on my computer late that night, and there was this clip that Ross had sent through of baptism in Iraq. And the song in the latter part was exactly the song Oceans. So kind of, let me tell you, that was quite overwhelming. Another breadcrumb I gleaned. So this clip is set in some rough places, but we'll see shortly. It's of some soldiers in the desert, but it's a wee bit jittery, but I'm sure you're going to get the essence of what it's speaking about. You may have been baptised, but just through life things have led you away, and you're still wanting to go deeper. Or you may feel for the first time a real stirring and a sense, I need to take time to pray with someone. I'm just going to be up the front after the video, so please just come and join me if you want to, or anybody else that you're comfortable with, and pray about anything that I've spoken. It would be a joy and a privilege to do that. I only have one regret, that I did not do this sooner. I think it would have been more helpful for my faith, but I let fear and what I'm doing up here stop me. Don't be like that. Don't let anything hold you back. Anybody, what anybody's telling you or what you're feeling that you shouldn't do for somebody else, don't let anything hold you back. Those words of Max Licardo's of the criminal who didn't repent, we dare not forget him. And as Noahs or believers, we need to be thinking and we need to be praying and growing our gifts and our faith in a way to help others. For we do not know that hour or a second for any of us. You know, somebody said a while back, you know, for 2,000 years he's been saying he's coming back, you know, and I haven't seen any sign of that. Hey, it could be another 2,000 years, but all Jesus was really concerned about was my life, your life, everybody around him, their time frame. And that was just what he was specifically speaking to each one of us individually. Not about, and he was talking to us, and he did it over and over in the Bible with the seven lamps to be lit, the thief in the night, you know, and he just showed us examples all the time, and he's wanting to grow us. And in respect, that seed that we've been, that Malcolm spoke about last week, that was planted and growing with that water. I think that's what he's wanting within each one of us, that we can be that light that goes out. And so it's kind of really important. So let's just pray in conclusion. Thank you, Lord, for your word, which is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Also your vision amongst us, Father, without it, where your people will perish. And Lord, I am mindful of the words in our last worship song this morning. And if I can just say this again of the desert song, if I can just change the I to a we, this is our prayer in the harvest, when favour and providence flow. We know we're filled to be emptied again. The seed we have received, we must sow. And this is an encouragement today for us all. Through your guidance, relationship, and resources of your many ways, you want to give us to go deeper. And my prayer is for consideration, Lord, of baptism, as you model to each one of us. This decision can be done at any age, stage, time, or place. And can I just say, as this clip is playing, use that moment to reflect on these past words and what this could mean to you. My part is now done in the sowing, but I believe this is where the Lord, he takes over. Amen.